welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name is Adam Cook, and it is still lockdown. Let's get it out of the way. I've said it. We've done it. We can move on. Right, Christopher White?
Absolutely. Let's move it. Forget it. Go on. Games. Woo!
Okay. That's the spirit, Adam Carroll, isn't it, right?
I enjoy it. That's what I want to hear.
Great. I'm just going to say this up front, having major technical problems in the Cook household right now. So if anything in this podcast sounds a bit funky, it's on me. I've done my best. We've all done our best, and I apologise in advance. But that doesn't mean that we can't sit down and have an attempt at a good old natter about some video games. Nothing major happening in the world. I mean, you know, The Last of Us 2 has been delayed indefinitely. You know, just you know,
and really.
Oh, sorry, and Iron Man VR, of course. That's also been.
Do you know what? I'm quite excited about that. I'm quite
excited. Delay? Yeah, me too.
No. No, Iron Man. Like, obviously, like, we know why. But, like, when it comes back, I'll be quite excited to play that.
It's not without precedent. I don't know if I said this on the podcast, but I keep saying to people I called this because I know I said it somewhere. Because Sony did this before. Do you remember when MotorStorm Apocalypse was coming out? And there, I think, was there a tsunami in somewhere in Asia?
Yeah.
And they delayed it, and I think they renamed it. I don't think it was
Pacific.
Called. I'm sure it was called something else.
Pacific.
Yeah, I think so.
Is there only two more storms or three? I think it's only two.
There's three and a Vita one. The Vita one was excellent.
Okay,
like, micro machines, but really good.
Yeah, I think it's Pacific something. I can't remember if this. Yeah, but anyway. Either way.
But yeah, like, so Last of Us 2 is not a shock. And, you know, you've probably seen the artwork for this podcast and you've seen the description and you know that Final Fantasy VII Remake is on the cards. But it would sort of be a bit weird if it didn't segue into Resident Evil 3 Remake because I mentioned, like, last week I played, I think I said that I played 20, 30 minutes of it. Chris, you've finished it. You've reviewed it. You really enjoyed it. We should say we're going to do something separate with Resistance, the multiplayer. We like we said last week, you tried it. Nowhere near enough that we could actually. You know,
no,
it's out
right.
now.
I was going to touch upon this anyway, just before we get into Resi 3. I've spent about an hour actually playing the game. With it being only the open beta at the moment, it's taken quite a while to find a match. But I have played with like the whole five. Well,
I suppose.
People.
Sorry, we should say at the time of recording, the game's just come out. So when Chris is saying it's the open beta, it's in the past. This is in the past.
Of course. Yep. Yeah, so last week when I played the open beta, it was very limited to who was on there. So I have played a bit, but when the game, well, with the game being out, like as you listen, we will do more. But it's not grabbing me, but hopefully that'll change. But
reason, well, I wanted to mention it because I did go back to it and play some more. And I don't want to sort of harp on about this on the podcast because we'd want to try and bring people up rather than bring them down. But the reason I think I'd normally have more to say about a Resident Evil game, and I think probably Adam Carroll would too, is that the opening line of that game, I forget if I mentioned last week, but the opening line mentions a global pandemic. And as I played the game, from what I played, I really enjoyed, but also I really didn't enjoy it. Like, I could totally accept this is a really good game. I totally get Chris's review, but it was too heavy for me. If that makes sense,
I'm just struggling
with the oppressiveness of everything about it. Like it just wasn't the right. It's not the right game for now for me.
Yeah, I'm definitely in the same boat. I kind of like. I didn't even purchase it, which is just mental.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that I'm a day one person when it comes to games, and like Resi was just kind of like, not right. No, I'm not really feeling the vibe of that game, and I think it was only like this. Just before recording, loads of people are streaming it now and stuff, and I just saw the opening, like, minute of footage, and I was definitely not up for it there and then, like, because, like, the tiniest of things, it's real footage, like, that they show at the very start.
It starts with live action, doesn't it?
Live action, yeah, and it's just like, oh, that's heavy. Right, back to Animal Crossing. That's kind of just how I match, you know what I mean? I'll get to it eventually. I am very excited to play it. Chris, you sold the whole game on me. I'm very interested just to see how it's going to sell. Because it just, like, I think it was only a couple of weeks ago, Adam, you said, I don't know if it was on the podcast or off, that you said, there's not much talk, or is it just me, about Resi 3? And I was kind of like, yeah, there isn't. And then it was like, there's definitely more talk about Final Fantasy VII. And now at the moment, a lot of people are receiving their copies of Final Fantasy.
I've just seen that.
Yeah, a lot of people are getting it all around the world, except me, which is just frustrating. But anyway,
so should we just get into? Because I do want to talk about very briefly I can't say much more about Resi because I got to the point when Nemesis came back and it was like getting late and it was dark and I was like, you know, I'm not a worse, but this just doesn't. I don't want this. I'm not feeling it right now. Like, I can totally get it's a really good game, but I just wasn't feeling it. So what I did is I decided to disappear into VR again and get through Half-Life Alyx, which so Valve were nice enough to send us a Valve Index. So I swapped from playing on Oculus Rift, which is fine, to Valve Index. Now Valve Index, do you guys know what Valve Index is? Like, you know, so Valve Index is like I don't think it's the most expensive VR setup, but it is a. It's a very expensive setup, and I'm not here to be like, oh, and I'm now going to shill for Valve. Not at all, but I will say, like, the second I opened the box, it's like, I get it. I get the price tag. Like, it is packaged in a way where, you know, when you buy, like, you buy something that is a bit more pricey, and you open it up, and you're like, oh, okay, there's, you know, it's almost like when you buy a nice watch, and you open the box up, and it's just packaged in a certain way, you know what I mean? And I will say the Index has that. Like, it has so many little compartments for everything you could think of. It also enabled me to set my sort of VR space up again in a way that is more freeing. So like with the Rift, you have two sensors, or you can have three sensors, and they're connected to your PC. Whereas with the original, like, HTC Vive, the Index is like that, where these are just sensors that you can put in your room, and they just have to be plugged in to power, so they don't have to be connected to your computer. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you're not tied to your computer. The Index itself is, again, it feels incredibly premium. And I have to say, as someone who wears glasses, I have reviewed the HTC Vive. Chris, correct me if I'm wrong. I've reviewed the HTC Vive. I've reviewed the Oculus Rift. I reviewed PSVR.
Yep, that's true.
This is the first PC VR software that, wearing glasses, I'm actually comfortable. And it's really not one of those things where a software solution works. You can't, because in my head, what you should be able to do is play some game, but have software built in where you can put your prescription in and it adjusts the lenses almost. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It makes them in, but that's not the way. That doesn't work. It there's a reason. I've looked into this. You can buy like specific prescription lenses that go in VR goggles, but of course then you're looking at even more money. But I would say that I've got them right next to me actually, that the Index controllers have like a strap that goes onto your hand between your like if you look at your hand between your first finger and your thumb, you know where the sort of gap is, the strap goes round your hand there, which means you can actually let go of the controllers entirely. So in VR, and they track every one of your fingers, so it means you can really feel immersed, if that makes sense, because you don't have to grip something all the time. Half-Life Alyx, the review is probably up by now. It is fucking brilliant. Like, I was quite
so
positive on it.
Wanted.
I know. I was quite positive on it at the start, but it did feel like a really high-budget version of VR shooters. Mm-hmm. What they do is they kind of front-load that, because once you get past the halfway mark, it becomes a showcase. And I'm not going to spoil why they introduced a new enemy into the Half-Life canon, which is just amazing. And it makes like an old enemy that you'd really not fussed about suddenly a threat again. And it's just brilliant. They do stuff that kind of only works in VR. And it's, again, it's so sad that it's going to be difficult for people to experience. Half-Life Alyx is amazing. In Valve Index, I'm probably going to write a review of that as well, because it's brilliant. It's just excellent. It is very expensive. There's no getting around that. There's no getting around it. Like, I'm not even going to say how much it is, because it feels kind of gross to say out loud, but it is very expensive. But it is also the best VR I've played so far. PSVR is very comfortable, but the Index is, for me with glasses, just feels like they thought of everything. And it's weird, like the headphones kind of don't go over your ears for me. I don't know if that's because I've got a big head and I've had to move it all around, but somehow the audio still, it's like it pipes into it. It's really weird. But Final Fantasy VII Remake, people have been waiting to, you know, At the time of recording, I haven't finished it. At the time of recording, I'm on chapter, I forget, quite late into the game. I am, I think, 25 hours in at the time of recording, and this is when you hear this, the embargo's up, and Mix reviewed it, and it's blah blah blah, you know. But and I'll have finished it for sure by then as well. But as of now, I don't really know where to begin because
you can begin by saying if it's amazing.
Well, I don't think I spoke to Chris about this, but I want to ask him because Chris, you don't have like quite. So for me, there's two games that I hold above all other games, and I always say they're my joint favourite games, and that's Final Fantasy VII, and that's Super Mario World, and I can never choose between the two of those because they are so different games. It is like comparing apples to oranges; like they are not even close to similar, but they are also for me, perfect games, and they're not perfect. Like, well, I think Mario World is perfect, but like Final Fantasy VII, I'm sure isn't perfect, but in my mind's eye it's perfect. Do you know what I mean?
It's yes. Perfect to you. It's, that's all that matters.
It's so when I booted up the game, like I talked about this in the demo, I booted up the game and I was sort of like in a bit of like, is this happening? Is this real? Because like the way the world is right now, like this could just be all I'm in a coma. All of this could be some mental fever dream and none of this is really happening. It's just I've slipped into a coma and it's a lucid dream. And so it has a very similar start menu. And the music, and I thought, I'm wearing headphones for this. I want to wear headphones for this game. I want no distraction. And the music starts up, right? And I listened to the whole, I listened to the whole of the intro. Haven't even hit start. I'm just listening to the music on the menu screen. And I felt this weird sensation, like this kind of, like, I don't want to get emotional talking about it on a podcast that people can listen to, but it really made me feel like that. Almost like this is home. Do you know what I mean? I feel safe. And I wonder, I mean, Chris, obviously, again, I talk about this game in a way, I think it's very obvious how I feel about it. But did you just get going or did you?
For me, Final Fantasy VII, when it was released, I played it through, absolutely adored it. But it's not got the same. I haven't got the same attachment as you have. But like I certainly appreciate what it is now. So I'm playing through it
like
differently to the way you are. So
Chris, just before, is that like the first like Final Fantasy game you've kind of really played, or have you played others and just before?
Nah, he reviewed 15. Didn't
you? I reviewed 15. I played 14. The last one. Online. Played 14 online, played 8 and 9, played 12.
So you have. All right, yeah. Fair enough.
So I've played a fair few. But like when I think back to the PlayStation, that's one of the games that stands out for me. That and Metal Gear, they're the two games that like Metal Gear is my Final Fantasy. Like if they remade the first Metal Gear, that would be the way you feel, you know. I hold that very dear to me. But Final Fantasy VII, so while I'm playing this, I haven't played through like however many times you've lost count of playing it.
So hang on. So at this point, again, worth mentioning that this is in the past. Like we don't normally say, but we're recording this last Friday. This is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. You know, not far off a full week before people can hear it, which we don't always do, but we are this time. How many? Do you know what chapter you're in or how many hours you're in to it as of now? Like as of us talking?
The last time I played, I was up to about 18 hours.
Okay, but do you know what chapter that was, roughly?
I can't remember.
I'm trying to think, is there any way... Who's in your party at the moment? You know, there's no spoilers. The people know the people in this game.
For God's sake.
Is it just Aerith?
Aerith, obviously Tifa, and yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's Aerith and Tifa.
Aerith, Tifa.
No, Barrett is definitely isn't yet.
This
is one of the things, right? I think the best thing to do here is I'll just talk and you guys interrupt me with anything you want to know or interject.
Yeah, go for it.
So the demo itself sold me. This game's very linear, there are sections... I don't want to sound negative because I am in love with it, But it is important that even as like a fan, you people hear that there are... This game's too long. Okay,
this game's too long. I immediately have to interrupt there very quickly when you said the linear thing, because isn't... what was it? No, was it Final Fantasy 13? Was the one that came out that was like really linear and fans were kind of not into that at all. Is it as linear as that?
I can't remember. It's been too long. Yeah, I'd say more linear. I'd say this game doesn't feel like a open world RPG because I don't think it is an open world RPG. It is a linear game that you go from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. There are multiple sections where you are just running through like corridor. Chris, you'll know what I mean. Like almost corridors that aren't corridors. Like the rock face is either side of you, and you're running along a path, and your characters are chatting. And there might be an occasional fight on the way, but sometimes there isn't. It is incredibly linear. So every now and again, you do spend like a lot of so you know the original game ads, like so.
Oh yeah.
For example, you know Seventh Heaven, like where the sector I can't remember what sector it is. I was literally playing it earlier. Sector 7. I think it is where the slums are. Yeah. Well, they're all slums, aren't they? But Sector 7, where Tifa's bar is, and that right. The first time you stop properly is in that sector when you're introduced to Tifa, and then you and Tifa spend time together as a party, just the two of you, and that's when it gives you side quests, okay? Other than that, so there's another section later where the same happens with Aerith. There is a section later with Barret, which I'm not going to talk about, but it's brand new. So there's a lot of new. And what that means is that, say, a section you could do in an hour in the original is now probably 3 to 4 hours. So
this new stuff so far, like obviously like you can't go into it and we don't want to,
I don't want to spoil it, no.
Like with the legacy that this game has, like you'd want to have some pair of balls to go off and start kind of stuff.
Well, it's the original people, isn't it? So the idea is they're saying we've now got the budget and the technology. This is what we wanted to do. But what I'm saying is that if this is genuinely what they wanted to do, then that original game that took, 40 to 50 hours is actually going to be a 200-plus hour game. This is a long, long game. And by that, I don't mean it was already long. I mean it is...
Stretched out.
Probably. So the side quest stuff, none of it is... Chris, as someone who's not got the love for it, you tell me. The side quest stuff, now I'm doing everything. I mean, because it's Final Fantasy VII. I want to see everything. I am searching every nook and cranny. I am doing everything. But even I can tell you that some of the side quests aren't great. And they feel like filler. Like one of them, very early on, Chris... Did you find the cats? Did you follow them just running around and finding cats?
I did. I've made a point of doing all six of those. But like,
right, but have you got to the point where there's another town and there's another six and it's the same thing again yet?
Yes.
You have. Did you do those six as well?
No.
One of them is no.
I just kind of thought. Yeah, because I thought like originally I was going to go along the same lines and do everything and feel like I thought there'd be a feeling of like satisfaction from doing them, but because they're just a bit, they're typical JRPG quests for me. And like the way you use a menu to find, like when you pick a side quest and you follow it through, the menu becomes a bit clumsy because you can see the other side quests markers on there, so it's not clear cut. And that cat quest just kind of made me think.
Cat quest.
Go on.
But like, you don't tell me that you intended that to be in the game originally because it's filler.
The question is
it filler because you knew you could only go so far with part one as we know it, or is it filler because you wanted to make the game feel more meaty? Because the thing is, and I'm over halfway through the game. I know that, but. It's an incredibly linear game. The only time it isn't is in these bits, and those bits are only good if you are like me and you're like, I have to see everything. I can see people like Chris going, like you've just said, the second time when you're with Aerith and in Wall Market and all of us. So That scene, Adam, for example, yeah, that scene, the one that we wondered if would still be in the game, where how you rescue Tifa, and I apologise if this all sounds a bit like, what's he talking about? I don't want to spoil the story. The bit where you have to rescue Tifa. That scene is in the game. It's done quite well, actually. And there's even a nice little sort of, there's an additional character who, there's a lot of story that's kind of filled out more by, like, there's a whole new character early on in the game, which culminates in a boss fight, which I think you fight them again later. There is more depth. There is more character. There are more people. I don't know if you noticed this, Chris, but the person who plays Heidegger is the person who plays Marcus Fenix in Gears of War.
Oh, is it?
And, is it John DiMaggio, I think it is. Yeah. And also, he looks exactly like Marcus Fenix with a big beard and a scar across his face.
Yeah, no, I've said
that. It's like, you see it now, right? Yeah. I recognise that guy's voice anywhere, because it's Bender as well, isn't it, from Futurama?
Yeah.
And I found out, and then if you look at him, he's like, yeah, he actually looks like Marcus Fenix a little bit when you, but like all these characters, it's massively anime, because of course it is, and it looks out of this world. The soundtrack, by the way, may be the best I've ever heard in my life. The original songs, so like when you meet Aerith and you're going back to the slums, from her slums to their slums, and there's a section where you're like, there's like. Adam, if I said to you there's like a big robot hand in the middle of the area, would that... Yeah?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The music there... Like the remix or redoing of that song, it's like, oh my God. Like me and my mates used to sort of sing silly songs in the middle of that bass line, and they actually were in my head when this song was playing. And also the way the songs... They merge, so as you move from area to area, the songs change, but they merge beautifully. A bit like how, you know, the 8-bit or 16-bit games do, like when you go underwater, you know, they just instantly beautifully, and it does that. Like, it is a production of, I mean, from the very second you start, you can see the money, and it plays. Like, I will say the combat's amazing, but I just want to keep talking about the story, and that I just think...
Well... Like, I want to know...
There's going to be people that fall off this, man. There's going to be people that fall off this because it asks a lot of you. But also the trouble is, even someone like me, it's like this... So, for example, right, if I just said to you the dramatic scene with the plate...
Yeah.
Right, you can probably...
Yeah, yeah.
You know the section.
Yeah.
That took 22 hours to get to.
And see, this is the big question here. Okay, like, I think personally we know that this remake sounds fantastic. It seems to have done,
and it is.
They put the love in. The presentation is there. The music is there. Hearing the characters' voices is something that you wouldn't expect, and now we have it, and it's kind of mad. It seems like this is fantastic.
It is.
Do, like, from what you have played, could this all have been put into one game, or is it solely done because of how polished
it
all
is?
And
what they've done is, there's no possible way they could have made this version of Final Fantasy VII in one game. Okay. I actually think when we get to part two and they go open world, I think the game will change.
How long do you think we'll be away from getting part two?
4 years.
2 years. I think 2.5, 2 years.
Yeah.
So what they've been left with a bit of a conundrum here, isn't there? Because they could make this game 20 hours long and people are going to say, that's not a JRPG, what are you doing? But they must have known, well, look, this was a 4-disc game, or was it 3? Whatever, I can't remember. It was 4. 3 or 4. Either way, there's very distinct points in that game you remember that are cut-off points. And they must know, look, we've got a choice of part one ending here or here, part two ending here or here. We can't really go any further because we do need to end with credits and come back for more. Do you know what I mean? But if that's only going to be a 20-hour game, that probably feels like it's not enough for them. So they've had to create a lot of new stuff and extend stuff out. What I'm saying is that sometimes they do that when they shouldn't have. So... I also want. I find the combat. I want to move on to the combat. The combat's incredible, by the way. It isn't what you think it is. There is an awful lot of depth here. It is not a Devil May Cry action game. It is not Final Fantasy XV. It is not Kingdom Hearts. It's kind of all of them. Like, you need to time your attacks because you will miss them. You need to think about, is that enemy going to suddenly fly away? Because if he does, I'm going to miss my special. It's really good combat. I will say, two bosses for me so far, I have despised. every other boss has been brilliant and really good. Now, I'm going to name one of them because it's been shown in previews and everyone knows about it, and it doesn't really spoil anything just saying the name of the boss. The second one I'm not going to name or even describe, but I do need to find out from Chris if he's had any issue with it. So the first boss I want to ask you about, Chris, is the Airbuster, which is this boss at the second reactor.
Yeah.
Did you have any trouble with that?
Not really. No. Okay. It was the...
I had major trouble with it because the second phase, when it's in the air, I couldn't attack it with anyone but Barrett.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, yeah, but... yeah, I suppose. It was the...
But, like, the magic...
Because I had my summon out and couldn't do anything. So
there's a question for you as well, right? In the preview footage they sent over, B-roll, that footage, they showed Leviathan off.
Yeah, I know.
I haven't got Leviathan yet, and I'm 25 hours in.
No, I haven't.
You didn't miss him then? Because I thought I missed him, but...
No. At that point, I was using the...
the first one.
The fire demon,
So
he was helpless, and it was running my summons down, and I couldn't do anything. So I was literally using Barrett and his overshot and that to... It kind of took a while for him to come back as well. And when he does fly back, you can kind of go hell for leather, but...
Yeah, that's when you have to.
Yeah.
Okay, the other boss I think you fought, you'll know, but again, no description of what it is, because it is quite a nice surprise. But the battle at the end of the Colosseum. Have you done that yet?
Yes.
I thought that was dreadful.
Yeah.
When you say dreadful, why? Is it because of...
Because you can't... It was really... It just took too long.
Mm.
Like, you felt underpowered, even though I had done everything in that game. Like, every optional battle, everything. I felt underpowered and underprepared.
Okay, so
it was
just very long-winded.
It was long-winded, and, like, you couldn't hit it. You couldn't hit it, and it kept having immunities, and you had to work around it. And some of that's cool. When they do that stuff, like, there's a battle a bit after that does... It does a lot of stuff with reflect and barrier materia, which I thought was really cool and really great, actually... showed you how deep the combat was. You had to think, whereas this one just felt like it didn't work.
I don't know if you struggled
with that one.
I for a while I never really experimented with the materia. I kind of went along the lines of using the like the fire, the ice, and the
see the materia, right? I don't know that they explain that well enough to someone like yourself. Like, I knew exactly what I'm doing about how to link materia and how to, like, but I wonder if it explains it well enough for you.
No, because you either find it or you assess stuff in the battlefield and send it to that weird looking lad, and he creates new stuff for you. But in terms of how to use them efficiently and together, and what they do, like, when you go down your list of materia, you can see certain, well, like, you know what a barrier one does, but there's no description. There's literally just the name of it. Like a short gif, if you will, of that actually happening, and then what happens at the next rank, but it doesn't go into any detail. So a lot of that will be lost on, well, it's lost on me, so it'll be lost on people that are new to it as well. Yeah.
So, like, also, so with the weapon system, they've added a whole new upgrade system to the weapons as well. Like, every weapon you get has, like, a unique skill. So in the demo, you have focused slash and braver. Okay. And I think Braver is one you have no matter what. So Focus Slash is one that is, I think that's the one that's specific to the big sword you start with, right? Mm-hmm. If you use it like 7 or 8 times, you get like a weapon proficiency bonus and it sticks to you. So you learn that skill. It is permanently one of your abilities, right? Now, Chris, I'm just wondering, have you realized that you have to do that with every weapon you get? Well, you don't have to, but you should, because it gives you more options no matter what weapon you're using.
No.
Okay, that's what I wondered. I thought that was an easily missable thing. So every weapon you get for every character has a new ability. And all you have to do is... So the best thing to do is, even though you might equip it and your stats go down, that's fine, because you can upgrade the stats anyway, but use that ability over and over and over as quickly as you can, because it only takes 7 or 8 times of using and you get a proficiency, which means you permanently have that skill no matter what weapon you're using. So... Also, again, and it never tells you this, it's in the demo. Did you even look at the battle stuff ads, like where you can assign 4 quick attacks to your left L1 and then plus triangle, square, circle, or cross?
No.
So that's really useful. You go in there and each character has... you can do this per character. Mm. So per character, each one of them, you can have four skills. So rather than going through the menus, you can just press L1 and cross for me, and that does my focused slash, which is always something I use when I get my ATB up. But that's per character. So then you can go into Tifa or Barret, and you can give them four different... You can one of them can be like Cura or Fyra.
You can also equip like potions as well, can't you? So like you can
you could have it so that L1 and square is like high potion, and it never tells you that, never, and it's really useful. Like I don't think it ever explains that. Say I find Barret quite difficult. In fact, until about 24 hours in, I didn't really want to use Barret. He actually becomes quite useful once you get some skills. The trouble is he gets, and in terms of the story, he gets left behind a little bit because you spend a lot of time with the girls, don't you?
Yeah.
But
I really liked him earlier.
You can actually, yeah, I know. Like, Barret's fine, yeah. But I didn't use him much in the original, and I don't use him much now. But like, if you're wanting to stick as Cloud, if you hit L2 or R2, you can just switch between your characters to tell Barret or tell Tifa or tell Aerith to do Fyra. And then once you've done that, it just carries on as Cloud. Like, you can command them without having to switch to them. And again, I'm not sure it does a great job of explaining that.
No, it doesn't, mate. There's a lot that I had to kind of go in, like, just find by chance in the menus. For a lot of the time so far, I've been following the same things I've been doing for the first 4 or 5 hours. And, you know, the way I attack, I don't use that up until recently, the... like setting commands for them in battle. I've rarely used that.
Yeah.
But like I think
you will need that.
I think when you like if you play it solely by button bashing. I say button bashing. If you just like spam the square and then occasionally use your abilities and spells, you're going to die quickly. Because
I think you'll have a lot of game overs.
Overs. Yeah, it's very difficult until you kind of make use of the full arsenal at your disposal. Like every
100%.
Every kind of thing you've got in terms of your battle plans and what materia you've got, you need to be strategic when you use that. And there's a lot of different types of enemies. There's a fast enemy, slow enemies. There's different like fire based. There's just a lot. So you're constantly having to shift up your party and make sure you've got the right specifications. Like there's a hell of a lot to it, and like it is fun. Like I enjoy the combat. I think
I love
one of the concerns was the camera. However, I find that's not really an issue, no more so than anything else within the genre.
There's a couple of areas, but not really. Like it's no worse.
And
I will say, it sounds like I'm down on it, man, but I am.
No,
like the
you're
first
not.
Time I played the game, I played 6 hours in one sitting, and I haven't done that in, I can't remember how long, actually. I just haven't done it in a long time, 6 hours. And then I came back the next time and the next time and the next time, and I can't stop playing it because it is wonderful. It is wonderful. But there's just a few little things that... It could have been, for me, a 10 out of 10, but there are just a few little things, you know?
You know, Adam Carroll, you know when I previewed it and you said about the classic mode? What's a classic like?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So, like,
You're going to give me an answer, now, yeah? Caught me off that time.
I'm doing the right thing. for me, it's much better to just play it in combat. I think because it's like you select classic. What you basically do is watch Cloud operate automatically in terms of slashing, and you can just kind of come in and press, like pull up the ability menu and use your ability. So it does kind of give you more freedom to move around the party and think more, but at the same time, it can be quite slow in the way he acts. Like, so I had a few issues with him taking quite a lot longer than me just pressing forward and running in than it does for them. It's a bit slower in that.
Some of the when you're not controlling them, some of them I've looked at them and I'm like, why aren't you attacking right now?
Yeah, that's
like the guy's staggered. Why the hell aren't you wailing on him with me? Like, you know, because you can, when you control them, you can just like set three massive abilities off at once when they're staggered and really lay the damage on.
Yeah, absolutely.
But sometimes they just stood there and like, fine, I'll make you do it then. It just occasionally. they don't seem to be quite up with you. But then it's actually quite a fast-paced game. I will say, by the way, I am genuinely in love with this. And what I would also, I know we'll talk about this for weeks to come, but what I would also say, and this is more for Adam and fans of the game, there's a lot new here. Like a lot new here. Mm. Like, don't be going in thinking, oh my God, how have they stretched that 20-hour story into 40 or 50? There's like whole chapters that are completely new. There are whole chapters that are massively expanded. There are new characters. There are reveals, I think, of characters that you don't expect. There is, at the time of recording this, a whole element that they show early in the game that I still do not know what the hell is going on with. And I know this game inside out. This is a whole new, heavily featured part of the story that I just do not know where they are going with it. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. And they feature this, like, as an enemy. They feature it quite a lot. It's a returning, recurring enemy. I've no idea what it's all about. It seems totally new to me. So that's exciting. It's brilliant. It's just not...
Yeah.
I always go back to the Chinese Democracy. As a big Guns N' Roses fan in my youth, it's like, what, that album could never be anything other than a disappointment because of... nothing taking that long could ever live up to its hope. This does live up to what I wanted. Like I said, this game has, it has had me in tears. It has had me feeling a way no other game has made me feel. Like, it made me feel, maybe it's the times we're living through, but it made me feel safe in a way I hadn't for probably 2 weeks actually, or more. And I needed that. And it feels like home, and it feels great. It just occasionally, you think, this was maybe a bit too much. That's all it is. So if that doesn't bother you, you're going to feel it's a 10 out of 10. But just occasionally, even as a massive fan, I'm left thinking, this might be a bit much. Just a touch. Just a tiny bit too far, too much. Just a bit too long spent doing this. That sort of thing, you know?
Mm.
But yeah, let's move on.
I can't wait for it.
Yeah, and you're right too. It is going to be up there as one of my favourite games this year. Excellent. without a problem there. What have you been playing, Ad?
So I quickly want to mention, I'm still playing Animal Crossing, right? I'm guessing
are. I was just going to ask what you guys thought of the egg stuff.
No, the egg stuff, okay? The egg stuff is causing serious, controversy around the area, because everyone's annoyed by, which I think as of recording they have now patched, but people were getting annoyed at the amount of balloons that were flying around with presents of eggs, and they've kind of done something to it now. I don't know what it is. Look, I have a different thing going on with Animal Crossing right now. And I'm not going to get down this here at all, right? But I've played a fair chunk of this game now to know the ins and outs of it, as we all have. I personally think that the game now needs a few tweaks in the department of, like, cutscenes and dialogue, speed, and things like that. Because when I'm going from point A to B every single day, when I go to, like, bladders and stuff, whatever, there's only so many times I can see that owl getting surprised by me waking him up. And I'm fucking getting so annoyed by, because I just feel like I know what I'm doing, and I'm like, all right, I want to crack on here, no bladders. Here's a fossil, tell me if it's useless or not.
When Isabel starts her daily things, you want her to just on the tannoy go, awaken the owl.
Yeah. Things like that, you know, like getting into the shop and stuff, and when I go to see what stuff is there, like, I don't want the lads to tell me, oh, you want to see what we have? It's like, yeah, I do. I'm here. Look, I've been here for the last 10 days now. Get off my case. And it's just one of those things that's like, I just want to do it quickly now. I don't want to rush anything. I don't want to earn bells quickly or anything like that. It's not that thing at all. I just want to get through the repetitive things. Like, I just want an option to skip it all quickly. Like, because there's nothing new being said or anything like that. And if I'm honest, speaking of bells and things like that, the prices to develop my town are too much.
Mm,
they're too much. It's way too tasking. And I, like, as I say, these are things that you don't see. Like, you can see it straight away or a few days in or whatever, and then go, oh wow, they're expensive. But it's only now, when I know how much I get and what I have to do, and, you know, planting money trees and whatever, and getting the right bits and bobs that sell high prices, when I jump in for a day of doing that to earn bells to buy a overly expensive bridge, and it's only just the one, it's a huge task throughout the day. And I know the game is, that's what it's about, and you're not supposed to be on, but I just want to build my town, and I want to just have it, like they say that this game is stress-free. It is stress-free, but I get stressed when I see, oh, I'm just not getting what I need to earn the bells to buy that one bridge to put there that'll just make this easier. Because the constant having, like, my island anyway, is like, the way I've set it up, I only have like two bridges, and it's like, I have to use the pole vault quite a lot of the time, and, you know, getting the pole vault out and doing all that and stuff, it just all adds up. And I know it sounds like I'm pooing on it a small bit, but it's just where I'm at currently. When I have, like, Final Fantasy VII coming, I can see myself kind of slightly falling away. Oh, because, man. I know it's hard to say, but, like, I can't.
You won't. You'll do your dailies. You'll go and do your morning motions.
I am doing my dailies and stuff. Do you know, I am.
Who are you? And that's still are you playing? Have you got anyone else on your Switch, like, sharing the island with you?
See, this is the thing, Chris. This is the thing. A lot of that is made easier if everyone's contributing. Just you trying to raise 169,000 bells for a bridge, that's bloody hard work. But if you're doing in like 20k today, and so's your other half or your kids or whatever, Chris, right? Am I right?
Yeah, man. Because my wife... Go on, Adam, sorry.
No, like, I think, like, all that is so true. I think, like, that's the way it is. I don't have a kid, not that I know of. No. And, like, the thing is...
You've definitely got a kid.
So, like, I'm in my own. And the way I play this game is that, like, I want to do it myself. And then I want all of you to come along and go, ha, oh, cool, look what you've done. I'm like, yeah, look at that. Mm-hmm. Dude, oh, massive. And it's like, I want that reward. And, like, I'm going off then, and I'm getting, like, I'm spending to buy a Nook Miles ticket and stuff like that. Whatever they're called, I can't remember if it's exactly that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I get a Nook Miles ticket, and I've bought those tickets, and I've gone to these islands, and then I leave at the end, and that fucking dodo goes to me, which I still love. Those dodos are still just a highlight all the time. Great. He says to me, are you finished here? Because, like, you can't return. And I'm like, I don't want to return. There's nothing here. Like, I've
scorched the earth.
Man, I've honestly, like, I've gone to these islands, and these randomly generated ones. There's never anything there. Like, I'm seeing people getting gigantic fish all over the place. There's only so many times I can take out a carp. Like, I'm going crazy with these fucking carps. Like, I get told to go down to the little bridge, and if you get in that bridge and you see a fish, oh, you're going to get loads of bells. I'm standing at that fucking bridge all the time going, there is never...
Are you not using the fish bait?
Yeah! But, like, it's still a fucking carp.
Like, certain, like, times of day and stuff like that.
Like, there's certain times of day and stuff, but there's just small things like that. And I feel like my progress is really slowed down.
Slow, yeah.
And as I said, I don't want it to rush, but I just want things to be more affordable in the game. Like, the bridges and stuff like that, these small necessities to just design your little...
Well, I think the bridge thing is annoying because the first one's free, but it's not free. Yeah. You craft it, and I must admit, I thought, oh, this is interesting, because in the old games, yeah, you have to do a public works thing, but in this one, because you can create the island, they're going to let you do it, and that's a bit weird.
And who's matey chops that comes along and sells you random rugs and...
Sahara?
Yeah. So she comes along and I'm just like, all right, cool. And I say, the first time round, boom, I'll buy a surprise thing off you. Brilliant. Did it. And then she comes charging up to me the next day again. And I was like, no, like, I'm not spending my stuff on you right now, because I need to get these other things. They're like... And they're taking me a long time, so I can't really afford to do this. And then, like, I don't know, sometimes I feel like, am I doing some things wrong? And then people are like, no, you can never play Animal Crossing wrong, you just play it your way. And it's like, then how are people How are people going to these islands where oceans of tarantulas and getting thousands and thousands and thousands of bells and stuff? And I'm just like,
you can create a tarantula island, you see.
Oh, fuck it, here we go. I'm trying to create one bridge and you're telling me you can create tarantula islands.
Yeah, like, but to create tarantula islands, you go to like a Nook Miles thing and then you just basically demolish that island. I haven't done it. But I know it can be done because my son did it. So
yeah, and this is just funny in a way. But like, I've had two situations where the game has started to stress me, and wow. one of them is my catapult. Right? Honestly, the fact I can only shoot upwards and hope for the best every time. Like,
no, you can aim it a bit. You have when you shoot, hold the button down. Yeah, get ahead of it and then hold the button down and then release it on time.
Well, look, I had to chase a present yesterday during this Easter hunt. And it took me 5 attempts to get the bastling thing down. And at one stage, I went over a river that I didn't have a bridge to get across. So I had to take out the pole and jump across and then line myself up again. That's happened quite a bit, right? And then
Just let it go.
I know this is nitpicky, but in my Animal Crossing world right now, it's kind of just testing my patience, as is the aiming of digging the shovel. Holy Jesus. Like, the amount of times I see a little crisscross X on the ground, like, oh, brilliant, a fossil or some sort, whatever. And then I just dig next to it, and I'm like, oh! And then I dig the other side, like, oh! So I just get it.
Yeah, my wife has problems with this. Maybe you're just not a real gamer.
Probably not. Who knows?
It was a lot easier with the touchscreen, I will say.
Like, look, it's still wonderful. I'm still loving my time with it. I just wish I could just develop my place, because I'm buying stuff even in the shop, you know, like, because I remember early days, you know, when like we had a tips video out and stuff like that. But I've seen other places say, oh, buy everything that they sell limited in the shop, you know, like the two items, whatever, that the boys sell. And I'm like, all right, cool. And every time I go in there, I'm not fucking wanting any of the stuff, you know. I get it, and I go, cool. And I run to my gaff and I put in the storage, and I'm like, there we go. And like, my actual house, my house looks like a hoarder fucking house at the moment, because I have a fucking old school vintage popcorn machine in the corner. Then in the other corner, I have a fucking barista machine, which I'm kind of into. I'm like banging. Then my Switch is there. I still don't have a proper fucking bed. My bed is like something from World War II or something. I don't know what's going on. And it's like, I don't have my flow of items to create a theme. And I know people are going to be like, well, sure, geez, you can just do it. But like, it's kind of like, yeah, but I want to build the island. I want to do my island first and then build my gaff. Do you know what I mean? And
I'll tell you what, mate, with a family all playing, like even the girls, I'm discounting them because they play for like 30, 40 minutes here and there.
Yeah. Yeah.
With my wife, she has put in serious time into this game, like, 3 times as much as I have, and I've played it a lot. And we've kind of got like, we've got 3 bridges, we've got an incline, we've got out, we've moved our houses onto separate parts of the island. So we've like, we've got our own, because when we built them like more or less next to each other, and it just kind of became a bit crowded. So she's moved hers over to the right, and she's got like this lovely big garden with like loads of different flowers on. She's got 4 rooms now, which is mental. Yeah. I've just got the 3. But like the flow of the game for me, like, it's incredible. Like, waking up in real time, absolutely, in real life, in the morning, going in and going, oh cool, the bridge is built. Or, oh brilliant, I've got a parcel. Oh, Lauren's bought me a fucking sofa. Nice. And then just going to like use a few Nook tickets to go to a few islands. My inventory's like grown 3 times now, so I've got more room to go fishing.
That's actually
stuff.
That's the thing, just to talk about that in the storage system as such, right? Your inventory anyway. Like, I gotta say, right, I upgraded, like, I've yet to upgrade to the next level of it. Like, I have, like, do you know, you originally start with the first level of it, then you can get the
4
card.
Rows, basically.
Yeah, so, I don't know, I think I have 3 rows right now, so I have to get the 4th one. So when I got the 3rd row, I was like, oh, game changer, here we go, right?
Yeah, it's not.
It's really not, right? And my thing about it is, right, I find myself, like, when I get told, oh, what do you want to do? Do you want to drop it or leave it or swap it out? And I'm just like, oh, for fuck's sake, this already? I'm like, I don't understand what's going on here. First off, you should not, that game should not be taking up space with your shovel, rod, and etc. It should not. I don't care. It's a video game. I know it's a thing you have. It shouldn't be in your storage. It just shouldn't, because... Like,
I think you should buy Resident Evil 3, mate. I think you're ready for some sort of apocalyptic war. Yeah. It sounds terrible.
No, it's but it shouldn't, because like I go down to the beach, right, and I get
never
told,
bothered
oh.
me, but go on. Yeah.
But you go down to the beach and you get shells, right, and you're like, oh, you get these fucking shells, clean it up, you get some bells, right, like brilliant. I pick up shells, and next way I look at my inventory, and there's all different fucking shells. They're not all like, you know, like some shells aren't duplicating in the same slot. They're like just gonna eat. Even though they look like the exact same shell. I know it's crazy talk, but
yeah, it is. Yeah.
It does add to just the kind of side of the game, because I'll get down there and go, all right, I'm going to clean up the beach, and I go down and I do it, and next minute I can't clean up the beach because I have all too many stuff now, so now I have to go back up and sell stuff or get rid of stuff, and it's just things. Look, is the game bringing stress to my life right now?
Yeah,
probably is, right? But you can't, like, people are giving out about fucking the Easter Bunny fella right now, and
he's fucking, it's like, creepy as hell though.
Well, I think every fucking animal's creepy in it, pretty much, bar the hippie dude. He's brilliant. But the bunny thing, like, I don't get what everyone's problem is right now. Is it something that I'm missing here?
I'll tell you what my fucking problem is when I go fishing, and every time it's this particular size, it's a fucking egg. And like the water eggs are easy to get. The wood eggs are easy to get. I've got about 30 different recipes for the Easter bunny, the Easter hunt now, and and most of them require earth eggs. So you can only get them from the crosses in the ground. So once you've done your morning routine of going around and digging up the ones that are like on your island, you can only go and get them by going to different islands, and that requires nook tickets. And once you've done when you press the plus button and you open up like the
nook miles.
Yeah, the nook miles, but they're like the nook miles plus, I think, where they're like,
yeah, that's it.
Yeah, they're like cheeky little ones. And in the morning, when you log in, and like certain ones are like times five. So once you do that, you get five times the amount of nook miles. Once you've done them, they're all limited to like 100 and 200. So to get a nook miles ticket, you have to put some real work into getting the other nook miles, like the main kind of ones. So the earth eggs are the only one for me where I'm struggling to get. I've got an abundance of all the others, but I still need them. Yeah. But for me, it's the fucking water eggs, because I love fishing in it. And I'm quite happily spend time, bait or baitless, just fishing. And the fact that there's fucking water eggs all over the island is doing my tree in. Like the balloons, I'm fine with.
Right, yeah.
To a point.
To me, so the balloons are the one for me, because I find balloons quite rare. So every time I get one, it's like, oh, look, some eggs, great. And like the fossils, because I'm at the point, obviously, where I've had it longer, that I am struggling to find new fossils. So digging up three fossils, and they are all already there, and then finding another hole and it's an egg. Oh, there's the other hole. No, egg. Another hole. Like, I'm glad this is short term. I think it should have been just a week.
Oh, personally. Yeah.
But I don't know. It sounds like it's, generally speaking, not been hugely popular. It's nice, actually. It is nice to have something different. And I will say, I'm finding it very frustrating, because I keep getting the same recipes. Like, you know, you can go in their houses and they give you a recipe.
Yeah.
It keeps being the same ones I've already got. And it's like, there are hundreds of recipes in this game. Like, there's a double bed in one of these guys' houses that I would love, and I never get given that. It's, you know,
There's people putting stairs in their houses and everything, and I'm just like...
Oh, yeah, I got all that. I've got it rid of my house.
And I'm just there going, anyone want some popcorn? Got it here for you.
Well, when I get the internet back, I'll come over and help you, mate. You know,
I think you'll go to his island. It'll be like Mad Max post-apocalyptic wasteland.
I'm worried.
Oh, man, Adam will be wearing like one of the masks.
There was.
You can get one of them.
Oh wow!
I went to one part of my island there yesterday, and there I went up, got the ladder, climbed up, and next one I saw a load of weeds. Right, and the only thing that came into my mind straight away was what I would do for a lawnmower. Like, what I do, because how picking weeds became such a lovely thing in my head. I was like, this is very relaxing. And then I got up and I saw a load, and I was like, oh, sweet Jesus Christ. And then...
Keep them, don't sell them.
I'm not sure, Jesus. I don't know what to send anymore. It's worth nothing. Nothing's worth anything to me.
No, keep them. You'll need them later.
Tom Nook has a loan over my head that I don't know what I'm going to do about. And there's people coming at me going, oh, Tom told me there that you should put up this for me. And I'm like, do it yourself, because I have other problems to be doing, right? So just drive on.
I think, what else have you been playing? Or should we just... Yeah.
It's look, people that are loving it and have the patience for that kind of thing, like, it's amazing. And I do get that it's amazing with families and stuff like that. But it's just, like, for me, it's like I saw... The last thing I'll say is I saw someone yesterday. There was a thing went up that someone has recreated the entire island into the world of Link to a Past.
Cool.
Link to the Past,
that's a good idea.
And I looked at it and I was just like, I'm going to do that. And then I jumped in and then I saw my weeds and I went, oh, fuck it, I can't do that at all. I can't create this thing at all. Like, this is, I'm going to be old and grey by the time I get anything done.
You are.
Listen though, the last thing I want to say is, I'm going back here to a game that came out in 2017 I quickly want to mention, Monument Valley 2. Have either of you played this?
No.
Not the second one.
Yeah.
The second one, okay. So, like, I played the first one whenever it came out. I can't not remember when that came out. It could have been 2015, maybe. I was a huge fan. I remember playing it when I was in the band and we were touring and stuff. I was in the van and I had headphones on. I was like, wow, this is just
oh, it's amazing.
It's an amazing game. I remember 2 being announced, but for whatever reason, I don't know how, it just went by and I just never got to it until last week when they just dropped it for free. They were just like, here, have it, on Android and stuff. So I was like, oh, brilliant. Monument Valley 2. Can't believe it. So there's a story. The story in the first one's really cool, but the story in the second one is amazing. It is mainly to do with motherhood and the protagonist's name is Ro, and she has her daughter, and it is just basically guiding her through life in the world of Monument Valley. Monument Valley is more or less a game with optical illusions and stuff like that, and the geometry of the levels you have to kind of toy with and get both characters from point A to B. So, like, within Monument Valley 1, you had only one character, and in this you have 2, and it's all these illusions of kind of seeing, like, you kind of turn the puzzles around and you kind of just slide it with your finger and it'll show you a path. And sometimes you might not see it because of the way it's designed. The thing about the game is the presentation. It's really funny because I think only last week we discussed mobile games and someone sent in a question going, do we play much? And all of a sudden I've played this. If more games were brought out and I was notified about it, like Monument Valley and like Florence and things like that, I'm going to go straight in, because this is the style of mobile game that I want to play all the time. This is a game you can play in one sitting, pretty much. You could have it done within an hour. I've seen criticisms towards this with the challenge not being all there. I don't get that at all, because I don't want a challenge. I think if you, like, there's some puzzles in it that would maybe have you stumped for a total of maybe 2 minutes, but it's like super rare that happens. This is all about the story. It's about the music. It's about the style of the game. Like, the art style of this game is, it's absolutely flawless. It is just flawless, the style of it. And it's, they know it themselves, the developer, us too, they know it, because after each level you can, there's a button to take a screenshot, so they know that they have created like a beautiful looking game. There is one level in particular of the design that just completely blew my mind, and it's not a spoiler, it's just how they did it. Like, so when you're looking at this particular level, you have your puzzle, but in the center of the puzzle you're currently trying to fix is another puzzle, and when you complete that original puzzle, it, the the kind of game starts zooming in. It kind of just transports you into the next one. And it's like this, like my eyeballs were totally like, whoa, that was a complete trip, like in how it was done. And it happens like about five times throughout this particular level. On top of that, like with the story, it is very moving. It's not like gut punching. It's just very moving. And when the way they use that kind of emotion within the presentation of the game and its color, it's quite genius. I'll be honest. I think Monument Valley 2 is better than the first, and I think it is easily just like it's one of my favorite games I've played on a mobile anyway, for sure. There just isn't any stutter, and it's just unbelievable that it delivers this presentation so, like, it's just so flawless, as I said. I highly recommend it. I highly recommend the first one. There's actually quite a bit of lore in this game, which is quite amazing, because you just see it and you go, oh, it's very simple. But Adam, you have to play it. And Chris, you have to play it.
When I've got the internet back and I don't have to use data, I will do so.
Yeah,
I promise you.
The fact it's free is like a bonus, obviously. So
yeah, look, no, I don't know if it still is. Like, there's a couple of games that are going free. Like, I know Lara Croft. I was troubled saying her name.
Lara Croft Go.
Which is fun. That's free as well. So if you want to get that, but Monument Valley 2 is an absolute masterpiece of a game. I love how short it is. I would love a third to be the exact same way. Just tell me another story. The presentation, the puzzles, they're all genius. The music is unreal. It is also on Spotify and everything, so you can get that there. This is a must play game.
Okay. Anyone got anything else, or should we go to listener correspondence?
Just quickly, I just want to mention Paper Beast. PSVR game.
VR.
Yeah. I didn't know much about it going in. I've reviewed it, so you can go and read that. But it's a really good PlayStation VR game. Really good. And I wasn't expecting it to be. From the chap behind Another World, very similar kind of aesthetic. Obviously, it's a lot better because that came out originally on the Amiga. But you're in this world that's surrounded by these paper animals. And you are responsible for helping them. Like, it's basically a puzzle game where you can, like, you help them through certain situations, and you start off with a giraffe and his children, like little baby giraffes, and you start off by like playing with them, feeding them, and then you move through this world, and it's weird. It's not all as it seems, and there's just some, like, I wasn't expecting it to be as kind of powerful as it is. There's a scene where you think some of the animals have died, and it's quite moving. But the puzzles are very good. For a PlayStation VR game, it's certainly worth checking out. So go and read the review and see what you think. But yeah, it's very good.
Okay, fair play. Well, first question this week then from Thomas on Patreon. He-Man cartoons famously contained a little morality tale at the end of each episode, stealthily instilling a young Llama Fluff's values. That's him, by the way, on Twitter, LlamaFluff42. Which TV shows embedded stealth learning in childhood for you? For me, it was Super Ted, just being nice to everyone.
Yeah, Jerry Springer.
It's not a funny answer, but it's...
Jerry Springer.
You know, it's an answer. Okay.
Jerry Springer.
It's not...
His final thoughts. I learned a lot about taking care of children.
They were nail biting
interracial relationships.
They really hit
and,
home.
You know, looking after your woman. Jerry Springer for me.
Okay.
Jesus, I don't really have much. Like it's the cartoons I would have watched and stuff like that. I don't know if there's anything like it. Like, did Batman ever teach me anything?
Had to be Batman.
Oh, fucking done brilliant. Yeah, Batman then. I'd love to be Batman.
this one's a touchy subject. With the barbers shut at the moment, Thomas says his wife is wondering whether there's a giant cotton bud walking around the house every morning. What are your tips for taming the tufties? Anyone planning a DIY haircut? Absolutely not.
I spoke to my wife this morning and said, would you mind if I just shaved it all off? And she says, I'd rather you didn't, but it's up to you, which means you aren't doing it.
And what about your hair?
That's what I mean.
Oh.
Cheeky boy.
Thought you were talking about the old bush.
No, that's nice and trim. So in terms of the hair, I'm currently using a hairband to keep it held back because it's... Mate,
it was long before. I can't even imagine.
It was long before, and now, like...
Oh, I'd love to be able to need a hairband.
I kind of shaved, like, because what my haircut was shaved all around the sides and then left a bit on top. It's very long. It was very long on top, but very short around the sides. So now it's mental. And, like, because I've got two crowns in the back of my head, the left part of my hair kind of falls over. So I've kind of brushed it all back. And I've left, I'm having to wear a hairband because it keeps getting in my face and it's doing my head in. So I really want to get rid of it, but I don't think I can.
How about you, Adam?
Well, I'm currently looking like fucking Harry from Harry and the Hendersons, so...
I assumed you looked more like Hagrid from Harry Potter.
Whichever, to be honest. DIY haircut, I definitely go for it. I've gone for absolutely outrageous things at the moment. It's very annoying, lads. It is annoying. I went out for a walk yesterday. The wind was pretty strong, and honestly, I came back and I was like, look at the state of my head. Like, it's just with the beard.
Yeah.
And then when your hair is because your hair goes through weird stages of it grows and you're like, oh, I need to get a haircut, but then it kind of grows longer and you're kind of going, I'm actually able to kind of manage this. Do you know what I mean? You get to these weird stages and then it goes a bit crazier again. You go, okay, I need to cut it now. I'm at the stage where I need to cut it because it's too puffy and just, it looks
I imagine that must be great. Pair of fuckers.
Oh, yeah. I know, hair problems. Jesus.
Fuck you, both. All of it. Deadbeat Punk on Discord. Are there any games which give you a similar warm, fuzzy glow to Animal Crossing? I can't think of anything that gets close. It's Final Fantasy for me, I think. It's Final Fantasy. Have you guys got any?
I'd love to get that fuzzy glow if possible.
So is there any game that does give you it?
Probably cost me about 1 million bells to get that. are there any games that come close? Breath of the Wild. God, I didn't know what I'd think of that.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah.
Breath of the Wild. Like, every time I said, by the way, just on a small little thing here. Just yesterday, there was a 10-minute video released of, like, who are known as the four greatest players of Breath of the Wild. And they made this, like, action-packed, like, what seems like a massive Breath of the Wild trailer, and it's the four of them playing it. And the way they play that game and how it's done, I just adore it. Yeah, so Breath of the Wild.
Fair enough. Chris, you got any warm, fuzzy games?
No, it's just literally Animal Crossing is the only thing that's keeping me sane at the minute.
That's fine. There's not a lot like Animal Crossing, no. So, you know. Well, we'll start with you, Chris, for this next question. Deadbeat Punk also wants to know. Well, he says, Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games is a bizarre crossover. Seemed impossible at one time. Which two characters would you place together and in what genre of game would they appear? Keep up the great work and thanks for reading my emails out on Fork Off. Don't know what that bit means. Which two characters would you put together and in what genre of game would they appear, Chris?
I'd like to see Bubsy and Cool Spot in a supermarket sweep game.
Sounds horrendous.
Oh no, it's potential to be incredible. Or Earthworm Jim and Zool in a Mortal Kombat.
The Ballad of the Misfit Mascots.
Yeah.
I would go for...
Only one can survive. Okay. And then the winner gets to make an actual game.
I'd go for Nathan Drake and Marcus Fenix because they're like the two mascots from two big mascots from the big, console manufacturers, and yeah. I would put them in a game because I can imagine Marcus getting so annoyed with Drake that would be entertaining. Adam?
I would like to pick, because Chris said it, I'd like to put Vess Montenegro from Far Cry 3 and Trevor from GTA 5 in a conversation game of Jerry Springer.
Well,
that'd be amazing.
Okay, last question. This is one of those questions where it seems like a really good question, right? But I think the answer is actually kind of not as good as it could be, because it's a simple answer. In a Royal Rumble, McPoo from Discord says, between all the Resident Evil monster greats, Nemesis, Mr. X, Jack, Baker, etc., who'd come out on top? And it's a great question.
It is.
And I'm massively in favour of these sort of X versus Y versus Z things. I think the problem is, I think everyone's going to answer exactly the same, and it's not a funny or clever answer. It's Nemesis,
no,
isn't
I'm...
it?
Well...
Nemesis.
I'm going to say Jack Baker.
Right, okay.
I'm going to say Jack Why? Baker because, Chris, you'd know this, but I think there is a bang of Bray Wyatt off Jack Baker.
Yeah.
And
just because he said Royal Rumble does not mean you can start talking about wrestling.
Listen, I'm not. I'm putting it into play. We got WrestleMania weekend. Well, it'll be over now when you listen to this. Yeah. But anyway, hope you enjoyed this. But Jack Baker as Bray Wyatt, there's a bang of that off him. I think then the likes of Nemesis and Mr. X, there's kind of like a Kane kind of thing going on there. And I just kind of feel like, okay, you can use weapons in wrestling, but like, Nemesis can't come in with the fucking rocket launcher. That's just over the top. That's just crazy.
He's got like tendrils now, hasn't he? Tendrils coming out of his arms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. There's no superpower stuff like that in wrestling. So that's a different question altogether. You see, if you're putting Nemesis just in...
The thing is, he said Royal Rumble type match, and he never said it was a wrestling match.
Well, he doesn't know. He just says in a Royal Rumble. Between all the Resident Evil monster greats, so...
So if you take away the branding of Royal Rumble and just call it a Rumble...
I think Mr. X is totally fucked anyway. I think he's done. Yeah. Because, like, he sees you through an open door and he can't even walk through it. So that's that. He's done. I'm going Jack Baker. I think he's just... He's a maniac.
Fine. I mean, I'm saying Nemesis. Well, Nem. My mate Nem. Chris?
Nem. Nemesis.
Yeah.
100%.
Of course. Thank you very, very much for listening to this podcast. Hopefully it all ended up just fine. No technical issues. If you do enjoy our stuff, you can go to patreon.com/godisageek and you can get this podcast early. You can get Fork Off, a podcast about food, which seems to get better every episode. But eventually, at some point, it's going to stop, I'm sure. But at the moment, we're still on the up. That's good. The upward curve, as they say. Adam, Chris, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And everyone else, we will speak to you next week. Well, hopefully I'll be here next week. We don't know if the technical issues continue, but hopefully we'll speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye for now.